Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Sarah.
I'm Liz.
And this is the It's Fine, I'm Fine podcast.
So welcome back to a very special episode of It's Fine, I'm Fine. We have Ellie Schnitt on the podcast today, another guest from Barstool Sports, but very different. She has a very interesting perspective. She talks a lot about relationships and she offered a lot of insight on our podcast, and we're super grateful that she came. But before we have her on, we wanted to kind of reintroduce ourselves again. I'm Liz. I'm 23. I live in New York City. I graduated from Penn. University of Pennsylvania. Ooh. In Philadelphia.
Smart.
I like using Instagram. I love the Kardashians and Kanye. If you're new here, Sarah, what about you?
What about me? What not about me?
what is life and all of this?
I'm 25 years old. My name is Sarah. My friends call me Sass. I obviously also live in New York City, and I live on the Upper East Side. You might be saying rich, but
no.
I am an account executive at an advertising agency, and I went to Syracuse University. And on the side, I teach yoga at Core Power Yoga. I'm very proud of that. And yeah, come to my classes. I'm a huge Jonas Brothers stan, which is more than fan. And if you want to follow my Twitter account, it's Jonas Fanfuels. So, yeah, that's pretty much all there is about me. Just kidding. There's way more. But we'll spare you. Liz, why don't you tell our new listeners about this podcast?
Sure. So It's Fine, I'm Fine is a weekly podcast where we, Sarah and Liz, have honest conversations about mental health. We're not experts, just two girls shucking and jiving in New York City. I wrote that down. Trying to extend the conversation and break down the stigma. And like you'll see, we interview a variety of different guests, trying to get some different perspectives and, you know, just continue to have those tough conversations that we're trying to make not tough.
Yeah, we want to continue this conversation around mental health to, you know, allow people to feel like they can talk about it too. And maybe it will help people feel less alone.
For sure.
So that's us.
Let's do our peak and pit of the week, which is our segment where we talk about a fun, good thing and a not so good thing.
So for my pit of the week, I lost my glasses, like my seeing glasses, as well as a pair of earrings. And I'm just like annoyed because I don't lose things. And it's very frustrating, especially someone like me who has anxiety. Like, I like to keep track of things in my life. That's why I keep like a calendar and I write down everything I have to do. Like, it really, really bothers me when I lose things because I'm like, how could I not have control over that? Like,
yeah,
how did I lose the control? And it really bothers me. So that was definitely my pit, but you know, I'll get over it. They're just materialistic things.
Mm-hmm.
And my peak of the week, honestly, was today. This episode recording, we had Ellie Schnitt on the pod and she is a delight. And she was so sweet, and I was really happy to meet her. So I'm happy she came on the pod and had awesome things to say.
Agreed with that. My pit is coronavirus. I'm sure a lot of people are experiencing this pit because, like, on the one hand, I'm, like, nervous about if it's, like, really serious and that's scary. But then on the other hand, I'm like, if it's not serious and everyone's just getting really nervous, that makes me upset because it's, like, I don't know. I want to be able to do things and not have to worry about this really scary thing that's going on. And it's stressing me out. And we live in New York and we're just like always surrounded by people. Hee hee. So that's tough. And then my peak, it's small, but it really was exciting for me. I was watching the Yeezy season 8 show in Paris yesterday live. And, you know, I was just watching it. There wasn't any music, which was interesting. Like, it was all silent and all you heard was sirens because it was like in the middle of a rue, if you will, because Paris.
Rue.
Oh, say it again.
Rue.
Oh, okay. Wow. yeah. So anyway, in the middle, I'm like listening and I hear this very delicate rapping and I'm like, what? Excuse me? And I look at my screen and I'm like, is that No, couldn't be. And it was North
Wait, I'm cracking up at delicate rapping.
Like, is there such a thing? There is. It's Northwest.
A new genre of music.
delicate rapping. No, you know what? It already exists because, like, Solange... That's how I would, and like Daniel Caesar.
Like, well, if you look up delicate rapping, no, it comes up.
Oh, for sure not. But there's people who have singing and then they go into like light.
Oh, you're right. Spoken but I just, word. I think what's funnier is how you called it. Yeah.
I should patent that. You know, anyway, she was awesome and there was a little controversy around it, but I hope that,
there was.
Let's yeah. Zaza, after. Like the rapper who North remixed her song. But, I hope like everyone feels comfortable and that Zaza got, credit where credit was due, but just happy for everyone involved. It was wonderful.
Awesome.
So
yeah, well, before we get into the episode, we want to remind our listeners about BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers professional counseling securely online, and we're so glad we partner with them.
BetterHelp is available to clients worldwide. You can schedule video sessions and phone calls with your counselor in advance, but you can also send a message to your counselor anytime.
It's great to offer our listeners such a modern service because we know a lot of them may want to try therapy but don't know where to start. So you can get 10% off your first month of service with our code ITSFINE.
Just go to betterhelp.com/ITSFINE. That's betterhelp.com/ITSFINE. I'm so excited that this is our partner and we continue to work with them and hope that a lot of people who listen are introduced to therapy or continue to go in a new way that's helpful to them.
Totally.
So, with that, back to the show. So we are joined by Ellie Schnitt, host of the Barstool Sports podcast Schnitt Talk, where every week Ellie and her producer Alana talk about relationships, dating, and even anxiety sometimes. With over 500,000 Twitter followers and 190,000 Instagram followers, Ellie is known for her viral tweets, music recommendations, and open, honest content. So with that all being said, introduce yourself. Give us like the basics.
The gist of me. It's such an open question.
It's like at an interview,
you know, in like a job interview, they're like, tell me about yourself, and you're supposed to say attributes that make you valuable to the company only.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
mm-hmm.
I never know what makes me valuable here. I've had generalized anxiety. No, I've been on Lexapro. No,
same.
I mean, no. I have.
Yeah,
but like,
same. Yeah.
No, so I work for Barstool, and I do a podcast that's geared towards young women, young people in general. It's very important to me that it's specifically geared towards young women or people who identify as women because everything's for dudes.
Yeah.
Everything is like specifically for men, you know? Mm-hmm. So like I like having something that's niche and specific for women. And I don't know, I tweet a lot and I got my job because of my Twitter account, and boy, they got really lucky that I can also speak.
Yeah. Yeah, you could have been like a freak behind the keys.
Totally. Yeah. So many people like that.
For sure.
So when you were in college, is that when you started like tweeting?
Yes. I mean, I've had a Twitter account since I was 15. And I've always loved Twitter more than all my friends liked it. Mm-hmm, and I actually used to get in trouble in high school because I would tweet pretty similarly to how I tweet now, obviously differently because I was 15, mm-hmm. and not like didn't have the same life experiences, like didn't kiss boys. But I was tweeting in the same voice that I use now pretty much. And I would get in trouble because my teachers would be like, you're putting a bad image out of yourself and you're not going to ever get a job, you know, because of your Twitter account. And then I did. So
because of your Twitter account.
I mean, stay in school and stuff, but like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what made you kind of want to open up initially to your Twitter audience? Like you just had thoughts that you wanted to put out there, or?
I really was just tweeting about whatever was happening to me. It wasn't a conscious decision for me to be like, yeah, let me let all these strangers into my life. Because initially it really was just people I went to college with, or mm-hmm. maybe I had one viral tweet and it'd be a couple random people, you know, like it didn't happen in a way that I was like, all of a sudden I'm speaking to a million people. You know, you have people who go viral, big viral off of one tweet, and all of a sudden their whole life is different. And I think that can be really jarring. But for me, it was gradual. So as there became more and more people in my life, I've had to kind of really measure, well, how much of my life am I really sharing with everyone? Because it's over 500,000 people. So it's a lot now. But in college, it was only, I think by the time I graduated college, I had like 150,000.
That's pretty awesome,
big,
though.
But
yeah.
It's not the same. It's mm-hmm. not the monster that like it is today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you started gaining Twitter followers, did you feel any type of pressure to like keep up the tweets?
Totally.
You did?
I did. I still do, actually.
Yeah.
Like I still feel that same kind of like, okay, I have to have at least one viral tweet today. Like I have to do something that is interesting and funny. Like, I have to constantly be thinking of things. My drafts are a scary, scary place. But I guess in the beginning it was more fun. Like, it's not that I don't have fun with it now, but there's a lot more pressure. Where in the beginning it was just like, I'm doing this for fun. I don't think I'm going to do a career out of this. I'm just going to take this ride and see where it goes. Mm-hmm. And at this point, now that it's a career, it's a really different game. Mm-hmm. But not necessarily in a bad way.
And it's an interesting career because it's so based on like your life and what's going on. And you have to kind of make fun of yourself and like be satirical.
And you almost have to like cannibalize your own life, which can get it. There are difficulties for sure. I mean, I like being open. I'm a pretty transparent person. It's actually really important to me to be transparent. Like, that's a value that I have of like not really having secrets and sharing with people who I am and what I value and all that. But definitely learning the line has been difficult for me, like figuring out, okay, like I really, if I'm just starting a relationship, probably shouldn't tweet about it because not everyone takes it well. Or, you know, there are certain details about my friends they don't want me to be sharing, you know, and finding the line and remembering that like I signed up for this and like I signed up for my life to be out there, but the people in my life didn't, it's been a little tricky.
For sure.
Yeah. And going off what you just said, like, we love how like open and honest you are. Like, it's really amazing. And I think that young women like do need that kind of person to look up to, like someone who's honest, someone who's real about like what they're going through. And like, I was listening to your episode that launched today. And I just love how like even just the topic of like feeling included or excluded with your friends, like it's so real. And you also talk about anxiety on the podcast. You mentioned how you have to really differentiate like what your brain is telling you and the anxiety versus like facts.
Yes.
So like what's your experience with mental health and like how do you know about anxiety?
Yeah. So, I've always been a very like anxious person, didn't take it that seriously. It wasn't that big of a problem in my life. You know, like, when you're younger, I mean, a lot of people when they're very little have real serious, you know, anxiety, have to see therapists and whatever. But like a lot of us when we're young, like that anxiety just manifests in different ways. Mm-hmm. Whether that's procrastination in schoolwork or, you know, whatever it is, little nervousness in social situations, like it manifests a little differently. And I think a lot of us growing up have that little bit of like, I don't know. I don't feel quite right about this, but I don't know what it is. And so when you become, as you get older, like it sometimes gets difficult to even see that you have a problem because you're like kind of used to that voice in your head being there. So for me, like I really realized I had an issue with my anxiety when I was in college. A couple of difficult things happened, and so I was having really bad panic attacks, and it was one of those times where I was like, this is really bad. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm throwing up every day because I'm anxious about something that hasn't happened, that might not happen, that will not happen, you know, that my brain is telling me will happen. And that was a point where I was like, I have to get help with this because I can't live my life if I'm like stuck in my apartment all the time, constantly worrying, you know. Because there's a difference between just worrying like you do a lot and really struggling with your brain sabotaging you. And it's really difficult, and you'll find what works for you. But therapy, like psychotherapy, like talk therapy has really helped me. And like a combination with CBT as well. Just having like concrete activities, concrete things that I can do has helped me. I mean, there's a lot of things that have helped me with my anxiety, a lot of like mindset things. But I do feel like talking about it opens the conversation for a lot of young women to be able to talk about how they're feeling.
Yeah.
And not downplay it, because I think mental health can be downplayed so easily. It's like, okay, you're worried, you're anxious. Like, we all get anxious, but like being able to say, no, I have an issue. Like, this is a problem and I need to fix it. Mm-hmm. Not fix it, but make it better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand that. And I think we always talk about how there's this sort of like conflation, like with anxiety and being anxious, and how now the word anxiety is overused and underdiagnosed. So totally. Like people say I have anxiety all the time, but the actual people who have, you know, what might be deemed clinical anxiety aren't actually addressing it enough. So we're in an interesting time where the conversation is totally like being had more, but I think there's still a real lack of understanding around it. You know what I mean?
And kind of that stigma is like, you're okay.
Right.
I've been anxious too. You're okay.
Exactly.
And it's a completely different animal, you know?
Yeah. Right.
And I think a lot of people, you know, who might not experience anxiety, they're like, oh, why is everyone talking about anxiety right now? Like, why are we making memes all the time? But we're not doing it as a way to say like, oh, it's just anxiety, whatever. We're doing it because people haven't really spoken about it before. And we don't want to like diminish what people are going through. We want to let people know that like we can talk about it. Exactly.
When I was first realizing that I had like a real problem with it, it really helped me a lot to joke about it. Because I was like, damn, this kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Like, this is unfair. Like, why doesn't my brain get to work? Like, my friends can just go to a bar and they're fine. And I go to a bar and I have to check all the exits and think I'm going to die. You know, like, that's that sucks. And so making jokes about it helped me a lot initially, for sure. Just to kind of get comfortable with the idea and almost get comfortable with talking about it. Although people do sometimes, like, they're not used to hearing jokes about mental illness. They'll kind of give you a, like, damn, are you okay?
Yeah,
kind of look.
Yeah. No, I think we're big proponents of, like, if we just keep talking about it, even in ways that might make people a little uncomfortable sometimes, like, the more it just becomes a regular part of everyday conversation. You talk a lot on your podcast about going through your DMs because people ask you for advice a lot. So I have kind of two questions about that. The first being, like, do you ever find yourself feeling a sense of responsibility because you're giving people advice and you may not like know all the answers?
I do. I try to make it pretty clear on the podcast by just saying like, hey, I'm not an expert. I don't 100% know what I'm talking about. This is what I have experienced. These are my experiences and my opinions. But like, every situation is different. But I do worry sometimes. Like, I don't... I feel the responsibility, especially in my DMs, though, because like people are reaching out to me like one on one and they like trust me and they want me to give them advice. And sometimes the advice I have to give them is like is something that like shouldn't come from me. You know?
Yeah, totally.
And that can be a little uncomfortable.
Right. It's like when you're speaking on your podcast, you can speak to your experiences. And if that helps someone, great. And if it doesn't, fine. They can just like leave it. Whereas if someone messages you privately, like they're looking to you to tell them what to do. And that can be really hard because, you know, you can only speak to your own experience.
Right.
We say that all the time on the podcast too. Like, we're a mental health podcast, but like, we're fully not therapists.
Right. Of course. I mean, and it gets some stressful sometimes, a little bit, just because I don't want anybody to. Well, there's a lot of opinions on the internet, you know?
Oh, yeah. For
like,
sure.
You never want to hurt anybody's feelings, but someone's feelings tend to inevitably be hurt by something you've said. So it's like, I don't know, finding the balance between like, I want to make sure I'm covering my bases here, but also like saying my opinion.
The other question I had about your DMs was, you watch The Bachelor, I assume. Yeah. So last night they had a whole episode at Women Tell All.
Did you see it?
I watched it.
Yeah. And they just talked about, I guess, like the hateful things that, that public figures get, even the women who go on The Bachelor. And like, I wonder if you're comfortable speaking on it, like if this is something that happens to you and
absolutely,
like how you deal with it, how it affects you.
I mean, this is going to sound bad, I guess, but like it's been now almost 3 years of it. Oh. And you get kind of used, like, you don't get used to it. You never get used to people telling you to kill yourself. Like, you never get used to people telling you, you know, shut the fuck up, bitch. Like, you're dumb. And like, you know, all this stuff. Like, you never really get used to it. But it's also like, for me, I read those messages as less hurtful than others I get, I guess. Like, because those people are so clearly, like, there's something so clearly wrong with them, like it's like almost like a cry for help where you can almost feel badly that like something in their life has led up to them deciding to DM a stranger that they should go jump off a building or whatever, you know, like so getting the mean DMs, like, I don't know, you get used to it. A couple have been like actually shocking, but most of the time it's like whatever. I mean, you're just clearly there's something that you need to work out and that has nothing to do with me.
What was it like the first time that you got a message?
It was definitely like shocking. Like, just shocking. Kind of like, I can't believe people say this to people that they don't know. Like, I can't imagine DMing a stranger in general. Like, that's just not something that's in my, like, DNA. I mean, I guess I've, like, DM'd a celebrity or something and been like, I really like you, whatever. But, like, just the idea of... I mean, I always say, like, guys, people, I mean, it's mostly men. It's like 99% men.
Yeah, right.
Like, these guys who are doing this, like, it's reply guys and like mean DMers, like, should be in the DSM 500. Like, there has to be something so wrong with you. Like, I don't know what it is. And like, I do feel bad that something is not being addressed here. If this is how people are feeling like they can reach out to people, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm like a nobody, but I've gotten a couple.
I'm a somebody.
But just in terms of like my following, but I was on Humble Brag Kim Kardashian's like story. Like, she reposted a bunch of her fans. Crazy. And so like
it was a big moment.
I'm like a huge fan. And like I got so many kind DMs of people being like, I don't know you, but look how happy you are. Yeah. And then I got a couple that were like, who do you think you are? All this stuff. And yeah. I would look at the profile and I was like, this is a guy and his kid in his literally, profile picture. Yeah.
And I'm like, does your wife know that you talk? There's one guy who sends me just like off me and Maria Chiffo, who mm-hmm. works at Barstool as well. This guy sends both of us like awful, mean, horrible things on Instagram all the time. Like really, really horrible. And like every day I think like, should I like track down his employer? Like, should I like say something about this? Like you have children in your picture here. Like do the people in your life know that you're like this? You know what I mean? But then I don't, because I'm like, what if he kills me? So,
right.
I feel like at the end of the day, like you're absolutely right in saying that there's got to be something going on. Like he's definitely like he's either frustrated about his own life or he's jealous or he like wants your attention so badly
right. that he thinks being negative is exactly. the way to get it.
He's like, no. If I'm nice, she has a million of those. Like, I want to say something that's crazy yeah. so that she responds, and then you respond, and at least he feels like, yes, like I got her response. I got her to yeah. notice me, which is ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, it's really sad that happens, and I wish I could bring them on the podcast to talk about what's going like, on
what
with them.
What is wrong?
Yeah, like what's happening?
There's a guy, so I do Twitch streams a lot. So there's like guys in there who are obviously like kind of reply guys, and they're very nice to me. I've kind of like corralled them into niceness. But when one of them is like acting up, there's one who like will occasionally be really mean on the stream. And I'm like, all right, let's talk about it. Like, what's wrong? What's mm-hmm. going on with you today? And it's always like, my boss was mean to me, or right, like something right. like that. And I'm like, yeah, okay, be nice to me.
Yeah, totally.
As you probably know, we had Jared Carabas on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, Jared, yeah.
And he talked about how, like, he can deal with a lot of the hateful comments that he gets on Twitter and stuff. But then sometimes when he sees people in person, I mean, he's different from you because he really, like, rallies his base by, like, you know, being anti-Yankees yeah. and whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that's a little different. But just he said that he feels a sense of social anxiety because he goes out into public and people feel like they know him and not always yeah. in a positive way.
Yeah, I don't know if you can relate. Yeah, he's mentioned that before. But I do feel that people do, and it's a good thing that people feel like they know me, but it's also like, unless you really know me in person, you don't know me fully. Like, you know what I am willing to put out in the world, mm-hmm. right? So it's like, not to say that I'm so different than the persona that I put online, but it's like a lot of people, and girls don't do this really. Girls are pretty good about, maybe if they see me at a bar, they're like, I like your podcast. Yeah. Like, I follow you on Twitter. They're very nice. Maybe they'll ask to take a selfie, and it's not like invasive at all. And I also don't feel uncomfortable when like a woman is approaching me in a public space. But like the guys often feel very like almost entitled to like my attention, and it makes me really uncomfortable. Like there's a lot of like the touching, and like I'll like push you off of me, you know? Like I do that because I'm like, you don't know me, you don't have the right to touch me or like be in my space like that.
I think there's like a reasonable expectation of if you're a fan and you want to like chit chat, that's fine. But I think I know what you mean about like people feeling entitled to having a conversation with you can yeah. be very challenging. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you are like second guessing sometimes the things that you put out into the universe because you know that there's like a big following, or do you almost feel detached from like how big your audience is?
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit of both, where it's like I kind of know that I can do and say whatever and it'll probably be fine. Like with Instagram, I used to stress out a lot about Instagram. I'd be like, oh my God, I have to post it this time. And it has to be this kind of picture. And if I don't get this many likes in 5 minutes, so I don't have to delete it. You know, I used to get really stressed out about it. But now I'm kind of just like, whatever. It'll get enough likes. It doesn't matter. Like, I'll post it. It'll be fine. And then with Twitter, I feel a different sort of pressure. I do feel that following on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because it's just really big. Like, there's just a lot of people yeah. with a lot of opinions.
Yeah. I think sometimes Twitter can be louder in terms of, and just in terms of the things that they say, and that yeah. like people can also engage with each other when they're not nice. And that can feel very loud.
Yeah. I mean, there are definitely days that it's worse than others. Like, there are definitely days that I go down rabbit holes and like look at my indirects and see what people are shit talking about me, you know? And like a lot of times I'll look it up because I just like want to hurt my own feelings. And then that would be people being nice. But like some days there are people being very mean because a lot of people, again, think that they know me when they don't.
Right.
So there's a lot of people who feel very comfortable saying, oh, this girl's the worst. And it's like, you don't know me.
Right.
What are you talking about? Right. Like, really? There was a girl, and it makes me more sad when girls do it, obviously, because I'm like, I know you like me.
Yeah.
I like you. Like, yeah. And this girl tweeted when I got verified, which, like, humble brag, yeah, like, not a big deal. But when I got verified, she was like, ugh, Ali Schnitt is verified on this website. That is what's wrong with Twitter. I'm like, I think the Nazis are probably what's wrong with Twitter. But, like, go off, I guess, you know?
Wait, why would that be wrong about Twitter?
She doesn't like me. I worked really hard to get where I am.
I hate that. I literally hate that. And, again, I mean, we know that it's another case of, like, knowing where it comes from. And, like,
yeah, totally.
People just, like, trolls just want to
take
other
people down.
You
do have to remind yourself of that.
Absolutely.
But
I mean, I wouldn't know.
Some days are harder than others. Days I'm like, everybody hates me and I'm stupid and I have to stop talking forever.
Oh,
like,
my gosh, no.
But mostly.
How do you, like, decide what to talk about on your podcast? Like, how do you come up with the topics? And is it, like,
notes?
Is it what you're, like, going through at the moment? Or are you just like, oh, I feel like this would be really good to talk to people about?
It's really hard to come up with topics for 2 episodes a week, every week. I'm going to be real with you. It is hard, especially because it's not like with a podcast about, like, sports. You can be like, all right, what's the sport news this week?
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. I have to go off of whatever is going on in my head at that moment. And there's only really so much you can talk about with relationships. So finding, like, new facets of things and, like, getting really weird and specific, answering DMs, like, it's difficult. But I have this note of like all my ideas per episode per week, and it's like they don't make any sense. Like,
right.
I'll say them out loud. I write down like 10 things and then I'll read them out loud to Alana and she'll be like, that makes sense. That's good. We talked about that last week.
Right.
I have like amnesia. I black out. Like, I don't remember what I talk about on these podcasts, but it's fun. Definitely. I talk less about what happens in my life now because, like, people, I don't know, they didn't ask to be part of that. You know?
It's an interesting thing to build relationships or friendships when you're someone who openly talks about relationships and friendships, like, on Twitter and stuff.
I almost sometimes feel like I can't date someone who's just like a normal person, which makes me feel sad. Like, I'll see a really cute guy at a bar and I'll look at him and think, there's no way he's cool with what I do for a living, you know?
Really?
I'll be like, there's no way this, like, nice normal person will sign up for all of this crazy, you know? And so it makes me feel like, well, I guess I just date a fucking comedian or, like, someone who wants to be a part of all of this stuff. And sometimes that's kind of sad. Like, yeah, I've had the experiences a lot of times that, like, guys have been like, yeah, I don't want to be talked about. And it's like, it's my job. I don't know what I'm supposed to talk about. Or they're, like, annoying. Like, the very beginning of a relationship, I'll tweet something. And, like, I feel all those butterflies and, like, I want to talk about it. And then I'm like, I can't tweet this because they're going to see it. And, like, I can't hold my cards at my chest anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not to complain, like, oh, no. My God, like, it's so hard to date when you're going to whatever. But, like,
yeah, no, it makes complete sense.
Yeah.
It's so interesting that you say that because I'm not a guy, so I have no idea. But, like, in my head, I would assume that guys would think that that's, like, so interesting. And you're not just, like, not to call anyone basic, but, like, when I tell people I'm in advertising, they've heard it a million times before. It's like the same thing. Like, yeah, I'm an account executive at an ad agency. Cool. Like, so was the last girl I dated. Like, you know?
Well, no offense to men. Full offense to men. They can be pretty insecure. Yeah.
Right.
And so a lot of times I do exaggerate or I make jokes at their expense or, like, I say things that I don't necessarily mean because I know it makes a joke work better, you know? And, so I'll get texts and be like, well, why did you say, like, this? I'm like, it was a joke. Well, it had to come from somewhere. I'm like, it was a joke. Like,
right.
You know, it's hard. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I also want my content to be as good as it can be. So it has to be someone who understands how important that is to me.
Right.
And it's, like, secure.
And understands that my career really, really matters to me. Mm-hmm. And I put it first.
Yeah.
It's interesting because we just asked you, like, how you come up with topics and you're like, it's all what's going on in my head. But if you're, like, trying to shield what's going on from everyone, then it can be really,
really
challenging.
Hard. Like, not to, I guess, blow my own cover, but I've been seeing someone for the last couple of weeks. Didn't talk about it at all on the podcast. And because I was kind of waiting for it to be, like, good and, like, solid so I could be like, yeah, I've been seeing someone. And then everyone would be, yay, I did it. And no, we just broke up today. So... I don't know. I can't really even talk about that on the podcast because I didn't talk about the fact that I was seeing somebody.
Yeah.
And also, like, they're going to listen and, like, it's a whole thing. Like,
well, you just said, you know, it's, like, interesting how people kind of feel entitled to your life because you are so transparent.
Yeah.
But anyone who shares anything also has the right to figure things out for themselves before they can, like, share it with such a huge audience. And before other people can kind of make assumptions about what's going on in your life, including the person that you're in a relationship with.
Yeah. And I get really swayed by like my own, like I always used to say I was like my own therapist. So I talk myself into things all the time. Oh, I'm really easily swayed by like one conversation I have one time, one day. Like I'll be like, yeah, like maybe I like this person. All of a sudden I'm like, I do. I like them. But then 5 days later, I'm like, I fucking hate this person. What am I talking about? So like if I talk about it on the podcast as I'm figuring it out, I will never figure it out ever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I will never know. So I tried to keep that quiet. And then it's just like, now it's over. So whatever.
I mean, I don't know if you'd be interested in talking on your podcast about the breakup now, but I mean, it's very relatable. And I think like so many, the thing is it's like, no one really has it figured out. I was seeing someone like not too long ago and it was like one day I was like, yes, like I'm super into this person. And then I wake up the next day, I'm like, am I super into this person? Like, I actually don't know. Yeah. And then we would hang out and I'm like, yes, okay, into this person. Like, it's just like we're all trying to figure it out.
It's so crazy. I always say about relationships is like, there's so much insecurity around relationships where it's like, if I'm not dating someone, I'm not good enough. Or if someone breaks up with me, there's something wrong with me, you know? When every single relationship is based on this like intangible, like undefined thing that's like this spark. Mm-hmm. And like you can't even say that a relationship ending is personal because you're just not that person's person, you know? And like, why would you want to be with someone who didn't want to be with you? Mm-hmm. Like relationships are so much less about you and so much more about like a connection. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't know. I don't even know why I'm like upset right now, really. Like you just lose a spark with, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it makes complete sense. And sometimes I go on dates and like, I'm like, oh, wow, this person's amazing. And if I wrote down every single thing on paper about them, I'd be like, they're perfect for me.
Right.
But like, I don't feel anything.
Like you can be handsome. I can be sort of attracted to you. Like I can like talking to you. And then I'm like, but I hate you.
Right.
Disgust me and I have to leave. Like
and like there's nothing to talk about. Yeah. Like we have so much in common and we're sitting here and there's nothing to say.
We're sitting on our phones. And sometimes comfortable silence can be great and other times it's like we just are acting like we've been married for 40 years and I'm 23 and don't want to do that.
Right. 100%.
It's also just nice to feel wanted. Like even if you're interviewing for jobs and you're like, I don't really want this, but then they reject you, you're like, well, what's wrong with me? And it's like, well, hey, you didn't necessarily want it in the first place, but everyone wants to feel like wanted and desirable. And so even if you don't like a person, like for it not to work out or for someone to reject you can just feel jarring in general.
Yeah.
Regardless of that connection. Like, because it'd
be so lovely if like it's just easy to be in a relationship. Like, but it's not. I mean, there wouldn't be so much like movies and songs and like art about love if it was easy to get, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and I'm trying to tell myself like sometimes when you see where things go, they go nowhere and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. And you need that experience in order for the next one to be even better or like, you know, you're going to take something from this.
And like, yeah, you know, I think if you don't cry on the subway at least once living in New York, you're not a real New Yorker.
No way.
For sure.
We're good.
Oh, no way. And also like something that we're really big on this podcast is like feel your feels. Like there's no need to like tell yourself I shouldn't be feeling this way or like.
Yeah, my therapist says that a lot.
Yeah. I mean, so does mine.
Like, and I'm like, yeah, I hear you. And yet.
Right. No, because we feel like we were talking about on our last podcast episode, like Liz was talking about, you know, not to get like dark, but like Liz was talking about how someone that she knew like took their own life. And she was like, I barely knew him. Like, why am I even feeling this way? But it's like, wait, why are we judging ourselves about the way that we're feeling?
Totally.
You know?
Totally.
So feel your feels. You know, if you want to cry in the middle of the day tomorrow, do it.
It probably will.
And do it. And do it. And then 10 minutes later, you're like, oh, wait, I'm feeling fine right now. That's okay, too. Like, you know what I mean? Just go through the motions because that's the only way to like get through it is when you go through
and
it.
It's so funny because I say it all the time on my podcast. I say this. And then here I am in the situation and I'm like, but I don't want to feel sad. We're going to not, even though that's not healthy, you know?
I mean, yeah, I'm really
what can you do? That. It's all like say, do as I say, not as I do.
Totally.
Absolutely. The story of my life.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here being like, feel your feels. And then like last week, I'm like, why am I feeling this way? What's I need to like get me? It together, go to yoga, like do something.
Right. Shifting gears a little, I am curious about how you deal with like the volume of social media. We talked a little bit about the kind of mean comments you get, but you probably have, you could have endless notifications if you let yourself. I'm curious how you like shut it off. And how you like, how do you like calm your mind?
Oh God. I don't shut it off. I actually get anxious when I'm not, if I don't know where my phone is for more than 5 minutes. I'm kind of like, oh God, where is it? I try really hard at least not to text anybody like on Sundays, which is probably the least offensive social like thing you can do on your phone. But like, it's really a lot of mental like energy for me to respond to people as well as like try to be interesting on the internet when I have no brain cells because it's a Sunday. I don't turn off. I know that it's really bad. I there's all these articles all the time that are like, you know what's making you depressed? It's your social media. And I'm like, I know, but there's nothing I can do about that because I really can't. Like, I can't pull back from it at this point. I mean, I guess I have to find other ways to not be depressed since cutting out social media will not be the thing that I do. I do meditate a lot, though.
Interesting.
I do a lot of meditation because I otherwise will like lose my mind. Like I have to have time. I also am a big routines. Like my nighttime routine is really important to me to just wind down from the day. I'm not a big you're not allowed to use your phone an hour before bed. Like I can't commit to that. It's not going to happen. But just knowing that sort of like, okay, I'm like going to read a book. I'm going to do my face routine. I'm going to read a book. I'm going to have a cup of tea. I'm going to wind down. That helps me a lot. But no, I never shut off my social media. I don't have notifications on for people that I don't follow. So that helps that I'm not getting a million notifications every day. Okay. But I am kind of addicted to reading my verified tab.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh my God, so what's a verified?
So when you get that blue check mark.
Wouldn't know.
Look, we'll I know one day. This I'm addicted to this because it's still so new for me. But when you get verified, you get your verified tab so you can see everyone who's verified who's liked your tweets.
Oh, wow.
And I'm just waiting for the day that like somebody interesting likes my tweet and I can be like, oh my God, Chrissy Teigen liked my tweet.
Totally.
Know? Wait, that never happened. That makes so much sense. Like everything is coming together in my brain. Now I understand why like verified people like respond to each other.
Like how do they
in
see
all
it?
Of the millions of DMs?
Because you have your own tab. I'm also like obsessed with it. Like it's actually a problem in my life. Like I refresh it all day. I have a problem.
I would do the same thing.
Because I'm always like, what if I miss it? What if it's someone I really care about? And what do I really do with like a tweet notification? Nothing.
Right.
But like when like one of my favorite YouTubers followed me, I was like, hey, everybody, I see this. So it was very exciting for me.
And it's also like your own little wins. Like it doesn't have to be like, oh, this person responded to my thing. Now I'm going to like do this whole thing. It's just like, oh, my God, that's so exciting. And it's like also maybe part of your job. Like it's like a win for your in your own career. So it's cool.
It excites me. Yeah. It's, you know, it's the little things in life that bring you joy. If this sad thing is what brings me joy, then whatever.
Oh, I don't think it's sad. I think it's cool because it's like you feel like it's sad because you're like, oh, I'm looking at my verified tab to see these notifications. But that's your job is Twitter.
Yeah.
So it's like you don't have a traditional job where you're getting like constant feedback and like promotions from your manager. But on Twitter, it's like, oh, if this person that I know and like liked my tweet, to me, that's feedback that I'm doing well.
I'm doing something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting.
I mean, my little joy is having Joe Jonas on the back of my phone.
So, you know,
everyone has a thing.
We all cope in our own ways.
Exactly. I have a question. Okay, like this is, you can answer this as you want, but like in terms of confidence, like how does social media, like how does it impact your confidence, I guess, especially like in the job and not in the job, like in your life?
It's a funny question just because I've been having a lot of conversations with one of my friends who also is very online. Michaela Oakland, I don't know if any of you follow her, but her and I talk about this because like the worst comments you get from strangers are not the ones that are like, you're fucking ugly, like you suck, your nose is weird. Like they're not those. It's always like the people who are trying to be nice but say something that's just like, oh, like I posted a picture once in like a bathing suit. This woman was like, yes, like I love natural bodies. And I was just like, oh, and then my friend got one. She was like, you look like a puppy, like a dog, like your face looks like a little dog. Oh. And she was like, but it wasn't supposed to be mean. Like, you know, it's kind of just like, oh, OK, it's like I'm ugly. Right. Is what you're saying is that I'm ugly and cool. It's like those comments, those are what make me like second guess. Like, wait, is my head too big for my body? Like, do I look weird? Like, but really, like, other than that, it doesn't affect my confidence. It's actually, people are really nice. It kind of blows your head up a little bit sometimes. Like Instagram comments, like, yeah, your friends will gas you up on your Instagram. Mm-hmm. But like when it's like hundreds of strangers being like, yes, this is amazing. You're like, hold up. Am I amazing? You know, like,
yeah.
So obviously there are days that it's worse than others. I've actually been struggling a little bit lately with like some body dysmorphia and just like a little bit of a confidence in my appearance. But these things fade, they pass. No one's expected to like love themselves all the time. That's crazy. Like that, like radical self-love, radical self-acceptance. It's great, but it's also like makes you feel worse on days that you just don't love yourself. It happens, mm-hmm. You know?
It's interesting because when you talked about like how you can't just turn your social media off at night. Mm-hmm. I think it's unrealistic when people say like shut it off for 2 hours before you go to sleep. It's like, can I find a happy medium? Because if you tell me that, I'm not going to do any of it.
Freak out.
Right.
Like mm-hmm. It's realistic for my mom to turn it off. Maybe. She loves Twitter. But like it's realistic for someone who it's not their whole life, but it's kind of my whole life. It's hard for me. My whole life lives here. So it's mm-hmm. It's tough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's all about taking like smaller steps to loving totally. Yourself instead of being like, I have to love myself all the time.
Radically.
I
once,
have to. Yeah. Exactly. Like I have to turn my cell phone off all the time.
You know, like there are definitely small things I've had to do. I mean, I had a really big like journey to self-confidence. I have not always been, you know, confident and comfortable in my own skin. And I definitely had a journey with that. So I understand people who maybe aren't as confident and want that kind of like, no, I'm gonna love myself no matter what. But mm-hmm. It's not as effective, I think, as allowing yourself to have days where you're like, all right, today I'm just having an off day, you know?
You guys are making me feel better.
What do you mean?
Like, I just like thought that like people that just loved themselves just loved themselves. Like, no.
Like I trust me, like I love myself.
No,
like,
no, yeah.
But there's certainly like, days where I'm like, yikes, today's a tough day.
Right. I just especially like when it in terms of like body, because like every yeah. day is a different day. And
literally I wake up in a different body every day.
Same. And it's just like there's so much like, you know, I like now, and it's amazing like now more yes. than ever I'm
body
seeing
body positivity is great.
It's great.
It's wonderful.
But it's like sometimes I'm like, well, why don't I don't feel that confident, like why, like what am I doing wrong here? And so it just like feels nice to know that like, you know, other people yeah. like you can like you, it's okay to have an off day.
Totally.
You know,
it's crazy to expect that something as like fragile as confidence is just going to be there every day. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know.
Yeah,
you can internally have that confidence, like I know I'm a nice person, like I know I'm a good person, but even that sometimes I'm like, am I though? Mm-hmm. Like, do I yeah. suck? Like
yeah, fully.
So you talked about being in therapy a little bit.
Yes.
Is that something you still do?
Yeah, every week, every Wednesday, actually. Oh, shout out Hannah. I'm really excited. I've been in therapy in New York now for a little over a year. So that's exciting. We had our 1 year anniversary the other week. We were very excited about
milestones.
Huge. I also have gotten 5 other people in my office to go to my practice because everyone I work with needs therapy. Everyone I work with needs a lot of therapy. So that's been like a passion project of mine, is like getting people to just go to therapy. Mm-hmm. It's right down the street. It's right there. But I really love my therapist, and I would really encourage anybody to go to therapy. Like, even if I hear a lot of people say like, I don't think that what I'm struggling enough with is enough to go to therapy. Like, I feel like I'm not bad enough to go to therapy. Like, I feel like I'll sit down and my therapist will be like, yeah, it's not enough for you to be complaining at me, you know, but mm-hmm. that's not like how therapy works. Like, you would be surprised at the small things in your life that you've kind of written off as not important that have really impacted the way that you live and love and whatever. So I think it's really important, especially if you struggle with anxiety, especially if you find yourself going through periods of depression. But even if you just have a hard time with friendships or have a hard time moving up in your job or with confidence or whatever, like therapy is really important.
For mm-hmm. sure. And this might be a kind of like morbid way to think about life, but I sometimes think therapy is preventative almost. Like mm-hmm. you're kind of learning tools to use
totally.
That even if right now your life is like okay, you know, inevitably people deal with really scary
things. Happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I started going to therapy when I was at like climbing up from rock bottom. So like not in a great place, you know? And so I had to learn a lot of a lot of tools in a time that I was also just dealing with other things, you know, a lot of other things. And I think I'm lucky that I was able to do that, but that's also hard. I think going to therapy before you're like, I have to reinvent my whole life from the ground up is a better idea. Mm-hmm. But I do. I think it's so important. I think everyone should go. I think every man should go to therapy.
100%. I think literally everyone.
My dad should be in therapy.
Oh my gosh, I wish my parents would.
Everyone. My mom is finally in therapy. I'm like, this is the best day of my life.
Yeah. I'd love to hear it.
Yeah.
Because everyone needs it. And like you said, as you both said, like, you don't need to be going through like a traumatic, horrible experience to go to it. And it's like, it really does help just like your day-to-day think, like, way of thinking.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And like, I look at it like I'm 23 and I have a lot figured, like, I have a lot figured out for the age that I am, just because I've been in therapy, just because I understand things about myself that I think a lot of people my age don't understand about themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, it also means like I can't date anybody because they're all awful. I'm kidding. No, they're not awful, but it's like, oh my gosh, you don't understand anything about yourself. You don't even know yourself. You're 27 years old. Like, this is crazy, you know?
Yeah.
That can be frustrating. But I will say, if you're listening to this and thinking like, well, I'm like that and maybe I should just date guys who are a lot older than me, don't do that either.
Right.
They are not so great either.
Right. I assumed that age was like going to be, yep, like, okay, you date older, that means they got it figured out, but it doesn't. Like, now I just look like, one of my first questions, well, one of the first things I tell them in general is I have a mental health podcast, and mm-hmm, I look for the response.
That's good.
Because if the response is like, what's that? Then I'm just like,
what's wrong with
not
you?
For me. Okay. And then if they're like, that's awesome, like, I think the conversation is so important, I'm like, okay. Now we can go yeah, on to date number two. So it's very important. My philosophy is like, I much rather be 25 and like in therapy every week trying to figure it out, mm-hmm, than 55 being like, what is my life about? Who am I?
I fucked my life up.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
Or like, who am I? Like, you always hear about like the life crisis that you buy a car at like 58 and you're, mm-hmm, like, who am I? You know, like, I don't want to go. I want to like be 58 and be like, I have fully figured myself, mm-hmm, out. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I know. Let's hope that doesn't happen.
I mean, I dated a guy who was 36 years old, mm-hmm, which is super old. I'm sorry if you're 22. Like, that's really old. And at the time I was like, he's so cool and like so has it together. And like, look at his apartment. He has glass chairs. Like, I was like, you know what I mean? Like, I was, yeah, like, so enamored by the fact that like he had a high rent apartment. And I was like, he has his life together. But like, I didn't stop to question like, why is this 36-year-old not dating someone appropriate to his own age? Like, why are you dating someone who's 22 years old? And then I was like, oh, because you never figured out your shit from when you were 22 years old. Yep. You still act that way.
Yeah. I think men in New York get kind of like a free pass too, because we're all so drawn to great apartments and like, you know, fancy, yeah, lives.
I definitely got seduced by the apartment, totally, more than the man, because now I look at the man and I'm like, oh no, you're old.
Right.
Right. It's like, is he cute or does he have a one bedroom? Like,
right, let's be, exactly, real. Does he live in Gramercy or, yeah.
Yeah, like, exactly. Oh my God, I'm so guilty of that.
No, I'm so bad with that. I'm like, wait, you wear nice cologne. Like, you have clean fingernails. What's up? Like, my standards are so low.
Yeah.
You gave us a lot of advice and a lot of advice to
our
listeners.
I'm going to listen to this episode. I can't wait to listen to this episode.
Really? Me too.
I'm not kidding.
Do you have anything else that you would tell maybe your listeners or the people who listen to our podcast that, yeah, you know, about mental health?
I would say just specifically for anxiety, the thing that helped me the most was I spent a lot of time trying to push my anxiety off of me. Like, oh, get away from me. Like, this isn't me. Why am I thinking like this? Stop freaking out. Calm down. Like, yelling at myself almost. And not understanding, like, your anxiety is in your brain. Your brain is you. Like, your anxiety is a part of you. And if you accept that and just say, all right, you can hang out, but, like, be quiet. You know, like, you can hang out here. I know that you're going to be freaking out, but, like, behave yourself. Like, it's going to be fine. The more I've thought of my anxiety as, like, a little barking dog when the mailman comes, like, he's trying to protect me, but he doesn't know, you know, what's a danger. It's, mm-hmm, your fight or flight response freaking out over things that don't need to freak out. So like, for me, the mindset of like, all right, my anxiety is going to be here, it's going to freak out a little bit, but hey, you're okay. I even think of like having it on my shoulder and just being like, you're fine, I understand that you're here, I understand that this is very scary for you, but it's not scary for me. And just that mentality has really carried me through a lot of the worst anxiety I've had.
I love that metaphor. That's
literally exactly what my therapist really? Said to me last month.
Do they
talk?
They definitely communicate with each other,
yeah, you guys
right?
spoke before this.
Yeah.
Diana, Ellie.
For sure.
That's awesome. That's really awesome advice. And I think our listeners are going to be really happy with everything you've said. You've been really helpful. And so thank you so much for being
here.
Seriously,
thank you for having
me. Much.
Thank you. And we definitely want to plug you. So tell our listeners where they can find
you. Right. You can follow me on Twitter at @holy_schnitt, S-C-H-N-I-T-T. Get it? made that when I was 15. Can't change it now. And then on Instagram, I'm Ellie_Schnitt. And you can listen to my podcast, which is Schnitt Talk. And it's on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you can listen to podcasts. I really appreciate you guys having me on. Yeah, it was fun.
Thank you.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
You can follow us on Instagram at It's Fine I'm Fine Pod. You can follow us on Twitter at It's Fine I'm Fine Pod minus the O. So that's It's Fine I'm Fine PD. There wasn't enough room
in the
Twitter handle. You can follow.
Can we pay someone for that?
Yeah, probably. Right. Like bribe.
I don't know how that works. I'm not in that world yet.
You can
but
definitely bribe somebody.
Did you say at Jack? Is that who started Twitter?
Uh-huh.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. Well, he didn't start it, but he currently, whatever. You can follow me at Liz Height on Instagram. On Twitter, I'm at LizTweets5.
You can follow me at Sarah L. Sassone. That's N like Nancy. Anywhere. Twitter, TikTok. Really?
Yeah, N like Nancy? Nancy, yeah.
Oh, I say that every time.
Every time.
Yeah, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram. Emphasis on the TikTok. I really need likes, followers.
We're trying to figure that out.
Yeah, I don't understand TikTok.
We'll talk after this. Yeah. And with that... It's fine. I'm fine.
It's fine. I'm fine.
Bye.